It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Good morning, folks, and Happy New Year. This is your old buddy, Luke Clayton. Thanks a lot for joining me here for our weekly 15-minute visit where we have the opportunity to talk hunting and fishing and related topics. You know, my column this week in the Greenville Herald Banner and the other newspapers that I write for it pertains to making ham from wild pork. You know, I grew up in Northeast Texas, up in Red River County, back in the 60s, actually. In 1960, I was 10 years old. And back in that time frame, you know, it was pretty common for folks to cure their pork at home. Almost exclusively, it was domestic pork. But I know if my dad was still around today and he knew of all the wild hogs we've got in the woods, he would probably be trying to trap them or hunt them like a lot of us do. And I'm quite sure that he would have figured out how to make ham from wild pork. Now, back when I used to watch my dad cure ham from the domestic hogs, I paid very little attention. I just remember the basic steps. And through most of my adult life, I thought it was pretty much rocket science. Curing ham, that was such a scientific procedure that I never really tried to learn. Until about 3 years ago, Cody Brown with Allied Kenco Sales down in Houston sent me a book, and I talked to him a lot, and he told me, he said, Luke, you know, cured pork, whether it's wild or domestic, is easy to do. It's not rocket science. And I learned, you know, I learned how simple that curing wild pork really is, and I began to start curing backstraps and ham from wild hogs that I've killed and trapped. So if you've thought about it, the procedure is really easy. I'm going to walk you through it. And don't worry about trying to take notes on this. I'm going to try to just cover the basics and then go into a little bit of in-depth times and temperatures and things like that. But basically, what you want to start with is a quality wild hog. In other words, if it's an old rank boar, you're not going to want to make ham out of it. But if it's a boar, don't rule it out. My grandson recently shot a 200-pound boar that was a lone boar by himself. He wasn't actively breeding with other hogs. He came through the woods by himself. He was made excellent ham. I made a good bit of ham from that hog. So I would say the best hog that you want would be a sow, 200 pounds or less. But don't necessarily rule out if you happen to shoot a boar. They have the potential to make really quality pork, but if you walk up on one, it's really a rank smelling hog, be it boar or sow, that one is not the one you want to make ham with. Now, you don't want to start, or I do not recommend that you start curing whole hams, bone-in hams. I recommend that you use pieces of ham meat or the backstrap that may be, oh, no more than 3 pounds. And the real key, when you trim the ham meat up, let's just say we're working with the ham first. Use the top cuts of the ham. That's the more tender pieces. And take the time, use a fillet knife, and take the time to trim the fat and the sinew away from the meat. It takes a little bit of time to trim it up where it's ready for curing, but the time is well spent. And always cut the meat across the grain. In other words, if you had a upper ham roast about 2 inches thick, cut across the grain. I do this a lot, really, especially if I have the pork processed. I'll ask them to cut from each ham two-inch thick cross-cut pieces, and they call it, the butcher will call it ham roast. But you'll have a cross-section of ham, bone-in is what you'll have. Now, start with one of these. No more than 2 inches thick is critical, because you're going to put cure on it, and you want that cure to penetrate all the way to the center of that cut of meat. Start with a 2-inch piece of ham meat cut across the grain, bone in. Remove the bone with your fillet knife. It'll take 10 seconds. Now, from this 2-inch thick round piece of meat, cut it into about 2-pound pieces is just fine, maybe 3. The key here is to keep it the right thickness, which is about 2 inches. So cut it into pieces that you want to cure. Now, do all this in a sterile setting. Make sure your hands are perfectly clean, because you're going to be rubbing the cure into each individual piece of that meat. Now, you can also use backstrap if you like. Of course, it's very, very lean, and I'll get into how to keep it from drying out here in just a little bit. But take your pieces of ham meat or backstrap, and they're going to be 2 inches thick. Now, use the appropriate amount of cure. I use Morton sugar cure a lot, and I'll add brown sugar to it. But there's, if you're looking, cure can be difficult to locate. AlliedKencoSales.com is a place to start your search for cures. Allied, AlliedKenco.com. Now, they can ship cures to you, you know, overnight. But use the appropriate amount of cure. Now, for a piece of ham meat that weighs 2 or 3 pounds, you're not going to use over a teaspoon of cure. I made the mistake years ago of really putting way too much cure on it, and it gets it too salty. So just use whatever. You don't have to have exact. I never weigh it. In other words, I'll use about a teaspoon for the pieces that I cure, maybe a teaspoon and a half. That won't hurt. But read the directions and follow them closely on the amount of cure that you use. Now, with you're dealing with a raw piece of ham, rub that cure with your hands into the meat from all sides, top, bottom, and around the sides of it. Rub it in really good, and it's simple from here. Have a Ziploc bag handy, and after I rub the cure in, I rub brown sugar into it and put it in a Ziploc bag. Now, don't crowd the bag with pieces of ham meat. Put, you know, 2 or 3 chunks in there. And if it's not 3 pounds, that's fine. Probably a pound and a half would be big enough. Just however your meat turns out, it's okay. In other words, you don't have to have a big hunk of meat to make ham. So if it's only a half a pound, whatever, put those in the Ziploc bag with it and then add a little extra brown sugar. That meat will absorb the sugar as it cures. Now, go through the whole process with all your ham. Trim it and don't use the shank portion. Use the upper cuts of ham and the backstrap for doing this. Put it in a refrigerator and make sure your refrigerator, most all refrigerators will chill it down to about 36, 38 degrees. You want it to be 38 is optimal. Give or take 2 or 3 degrees won't hurt you, or it won't hurt the process of curing. Now, the whole reason for curing meat is so that you can slow smoke it at temperatures below 150. If you just wanted to smoke meat, you could put it in above 175 in a smoker and smoke it. But you're wanting ham, and you're not going to get ham until that cure penetrates the meat. Now, those 2-inch pieces, I've done a lot of it like this. It takes 7 days. You put it in the refrigerator and turn it every couple of days. Move it around to distribute. You'll have a little moisture that forms in there, but turn it around so it'll distribute all around the piece of meat there. Folks, if you just tuned in, I might ought to tell you, this is Luke Clayton, and we're talking about curing wild pork at home. It's something that's very, very easy to do. All of you can do it. But we've just gotten to the part, we've rubbed the cure in the meat, and we put a little extra brown sugar. We put the meat in the refrigerator, and we've let it set 7 days. Now, this next comes the process of making smoked meat. Now, I use an electric smoker. There's different. I'm going to tell you 2 ways to do it. If you have an electric smoker, makes this task extremely simple. It's a Smoking Tech electric smoker with a thermostat. I will set the thermostat at 140. I'll add some wild plum wood, pecan wood, or hickory wood, dry, and not a lot of it, maybe 4, 5, 6 ounces in the smoke box on the Smoking Tech, and I'll slide the smoke box over the heating element at 140. Really, actually, I will kick it up just a little bit more than 140 in the very beginning. I'll set it at 150. That gets the smoke billowing, rolling really well. Start it off, 10 degrees, give or take, is not, you know, not critical, but set it at 150 instead of 140 in the very, very beginning. That's what I usually do. And get the smoke going. Put your meat in there. This is cured meat, so you can set it below 160. You see, it's cured, so it will not spoil. Botulism will not set in if that meat's cured. That's the whole trick for curing. Leave it in there about 2 hours and with a heavy smoke. And 150 degrees will That meat's going to be cold. It'll bring it up to bring it up to temperature, and it'll get it really smoked. Now, here is the trick. If you just cut your thermostat down to 140 and left it in there, it would dry it out. I'll guarantee you, because I've done that. Wild pork is very, very dry meat as a rule. What you do is put some heavy-duty aluminum foil down, put some olive oil over the meat, rub it in the meat, and just wrap it up. You might have three or four different pieces of foil there, and put the foil meat in the foil back in the in your smoker, back in my smoking techs. Set the thermostat down to 140 because you've already brought it up to it's probably the meat the internal temperature is probably going to be, you know, at least 140, 150 after those 2 hours in the smoker. So set it at 140. And just leave it in there. It's through smoking, so you don't need to put any more smoke. Leave it in there for about 5 more hours at 140. Now, if you do not have an electric smoker like the Smoking Tex that I use, you can smoke it those first couple hours on a wood-fired smoker. Just don't get it above 150. Watch it really close. You don't want to cook it. You want to smoke it. Smoke it for a couple of hours on your wood-fired smoker. Wrap it. You know, put the olive oil on the meat, wrap it in heavy-duty foil, and put it in your oven if you've got an oven that will get down low. Don't get it above 150. And if you're, you know, most ovens will not go to 140. So, you know, but I've done it like this in years past. You can set it at 150 and leave it for about 4 hours. You know, that oven's going to cook faster than my smoker usually will. So, after that length of time, you know, take it out of your smoker. You have got cured smoked ham is what you have. And you're going to find it's going to be as good as any you can buy at a grocery store, maybe better. And this is from wild pork that you've harvested. At this point, take some fresh Ziploc bags, put the cured smoked, let it cool, of course, put the cured smoked pieces of ham meat in Ziploc bags, seal them up, put them back in the refrigerator for about another 3 or 4 or 5 days, you know, and it'll cool down immediately, and that it'll continue to cure out. It just gives it a better flavor after it's cured and smoked to put it back in the refrigerator a few days, and then of course the meat is cured. If you keep it cold, it'll keep a long time, but I usually take it at that point and freeze a portion of it and leave in the refrigerator what I think I'm going to be eating for about the next 2 or 3 weeks. But that's some tips right there that if you followed with me and tracked with me pretty good, it's something that I think you can go do right now. Remember, the real trick is finding Cure. Allied Kenco sales in Houston online, Allied Kenco, AllidKenco.com is where you can get the supplies. Now, electric smokers are available all over. I use a Smoking Tex electric smoker. I've been using it for years. That website, if you want to learn more about smoking meats, SmokingTex.com, SmokinTex.com. Well, folks, hopefully this has helped you a bit. You know, duck season, this second split has been awesome. I've been doing a lot of duck hunting. We've got, well, I guess about 3 more weeks of what I consider to be the best duck hunting. The mallards are down. I'm seeing a lot of mallards and gadwall and widgeon. I hunt ducks down at near Cedar Creek Lake, and then I hunt them by my home, too, about a mile from the house. So my tip to you on duck hunting, late season duck hunting, is use your binoculars during the midday. Find out where the birds are, where they're rafting up. Usually, you know, diving ducks, you'll find them in some water that they can reach bottom in, 18 inches or less. But what we're doing is scouting them during the middle part of the day, and then trying to get in and building a makeshift blind. We drive a couple of 4x4s in the ground and nail a 2x12 on top with a couple of 16 penny nails. There's a bench to set on, and use natural vegetation when you can around that blind, and you're ready to hunt ducks. So we're right now in the very midst of some of the best, I think the best duck hunting of the entire season. And if you get a chance, check out the Greenville Herald banner this week. My column will give you, if you've missed any of those little steps on curing the wild pork, the column should give you enough information to do it. If you have any questions, make sure and email me through the my radio website, which is catfishradio.com. Be happy to clue you in. And there you can listen to the archive of our weekly outdoor show. Till this time next week, be safe in the outdoors.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.